Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, in the midst of all that is going on in the world, help us to recognize how essential it is to know you. Help us to know you better and better, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many voices in the world. Who are we to listen to? If we listen to anything other than God, there is conflicting information in it. Are we to listen to a Christian man who says, an asteroid will come near the earth, but prayer can deflect it? Or, for instance, are we to listen to the pastor who says, judgment is coming to America? Or that other pastor who says, Americans will prosper and there will be revival like never before in America? Well, just a few days ago, I heard a radio preacher say that there are roughly 330 million Americans, and over half say they are Christians and are going to heaven. Ah, but there was another poll that cites essential Christian fundamental beliefs, and it says, based on those essential Christian fundamental beliefs, that there are only 10 million American Christian believers. Well, what does a Christian believer believe? Yes, the Bible, the whole Bible, which has been infallibly given by God. With every verse, with every line, it is true, but you have to search for its context. Okay, so that's one. Another is that there is one God in three persons that are co-equal, distinct, but united as one. Another is the miracle of Jesus at his birth, his life, his ministry, and his death on the cross as a sacrifice by which our sins are forgiven. And when we accept his gift, his free gift, then, and we turn from our sins and are born again in the Spirit of God, then we have eternal life in heaven and not hell. Well, knowing this, that our sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ, is a big first step. And often we hear this truth from a man who shares the gospel truth. And then we accept Christ, and then we keep taking steps closer and closer to God, Jesus. It's a wonderful journey to walk with Jesus Christ, to seek him, and to know the truth. Often people want to look into the future to see what is ahead. If that's what we want to look at, well, let us remember the literal physical return of Jesus Christ from heaven to establish his kingdom on earth. Well, there we go. That's a quick version of fundamental Christian beliefs. And you know that there are people who will focus on one part or the other of the Bible, and that will turn into their religious point of view. So what we can do is to read the Bible and not get deceived, because the Bible is true, and man's words are partly true. Well, we want to know the Bible well enough so that we are not deceived by anything else we hear. Try this sometime. Look up the passages that a radio preacher cites to illustrate their sermon points. And I have found that usually those points are all true, but from time to time, the scripture they cite is not correct. It is important to know your Bible. Know that truth. I remember about 25 years ago, when I had just read the Bible, there was a radio program reading with that old English words, using chapter and verse, and I thought, oh good, the Bible! I not only read it, I get to hear it on the radio. But I did not recognize the story. I questioned it. I did not recognize the moral of the story, because it did not really line up with a Bible theme. It was close, but not correct. Well, I soon found that radio program was reading from the Book of Mormon. Oh, how careful we must be, each one of us, to not believe a lie. And the best way to not be deceived is to know the Bible. Yes, to read it, and yes, to study it. Me, I definitely like the King James Version. I like its word order of having the more important concept put first. But to read the King James, there are probably a dozen words that you have to know the meaning of. They're just a little different from modern English. Like host. In King James, a host is a body of men. Often enough, it's an army. Another word is smote. In King James, to smote a man is to hit a man, and the hit might make him fall, or it might very well kill him. So with just a couple of words, we can very well understand King James. The word order. I like the word order of it. And it's a little different than the way we speak, and that, I found, would engage my mind more effectively. I think another Bible version that I would say I like is the New American Standard. And as we are talking about Bible versions, I just must mention my dislike for the NIV version, the New International Version. Some words and concepts they're either mistranslated or sometimes they're completely left out. That is my strong opinion, to stay away from the NIV. Let's see, some of the things that it leaves out. Matthew 17:21 is left out completely. In the King James it reads, "Howbeit this kind of demonic spirit goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Well, that's a pretty important verse if you are in a spiritual fight. Oh, yeah. Let's see, another verse the NIV leaves out is Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man, Jesus, came to save that which was lost. So, what's wrong with that verse? I don't know, but they leave it out. Well, I really find it interesting to look at what is understood and what we seek to understand. And that's why I repeatedly say that your salvation, your eternity in heaven, is your own responsibility, and you have to be careful who you believe or what a preacher might say. You have to know that Bible and know the truth of it. And then what? And then you demonstrate the choice you have made in believing in God, Jesus, and the Bible. And you show that. You demonstrate it by the way you live. Now, men can't judge for that eternal destiny, but God will judge you and me rightly and eternally. And there are no secrets that we can hide from God. He knows everything about us. He knows all of it. He knows all about the world we live in and just everything. So remember that when you are considering how you act and what you do. There's plenty of things going on in the world today. The scheming that goes on. Well, there are people who really want to take whatever it is you have. And that's a part of life also that you and me, we protect against. That people want to take whatever you have. There's a few people like that. Whatever you have, your riches, and sometimes they want your life, and sometimes they want to control you. It's just people. They might want to physically control you, and that an example of that being done is in China, where the bus pass you are issued might only allow you to go a couple of blocks, a couple of miles away from your home, and that is all. That's control. You see, it's a computerized bus system. It's a computerized card, and your card will work in some places and not in others. So that's one way of controlling people. There's also financial control. Yeah, and China just days ago put into effect it's a card. It's a card to have all your purchases made with. In effect, what it does is it reduces cash, reduces currency in the system. China's effort to make this switch has made it so that the people of China are offered a chance to win a so-called envelope full of credits, or, you know, they call it money. But when they put all their currency onto a card, they are then entered into a lottery, and if their name comes up, they win a bunch of cash. So that is how China is encouraging this switch over to a card. And they're spending billions of dollars to do this. That's what the news release I read said. Billions of dollars in prizes. I guess it's true. We'll find out in a little while as more news reports come out. Another way that cash is being diminished is, like in India, 3.5 years ago, something like that, they said all the old cash would become worthless in 2 months. So they said, turn it all in and transfer your cash, your currency, onto a card. And that was the only way that people could redeem their currency. India said that there would be new cash put into the system, but it would all be small denominations, equivalent to our one, our five, and our $10 bills. And if there was anybody who turned in an excessive amount of currency, they would be investigated as being a criminal or a drug dealer. That happened in India. Would the United States do something like this? Well, just 3 days ago, I heard a financial guy talking about how digital currency is coming to the United States. He said we could expect it in 6 to 9 months. Well, maybe that could happen. I mean, sure it could. There have been plans for its happening for years. And they're pretty good at keeping secrets in that organization of money, of banking. And look back 20 years ago. Do you remember there was a new currency that was going to be put into our wallets? And that happened like overnight. Overnight, we got the new currency and the old bills just disappeared. That was an immediate switch. And really, it was whispered in a few circles for the weeks before, the months before, and even the years before. But it was not known publicly that it was going to happen. It just all of a sudden happened. And now for a few years, there has been talk about a so-called Fed coin, you know, like a Bitcoin, but it's a Federal Reserve coin put out by the Federal Reserve. And with that, we would have immediate access to our money. Sounds pretty good. They would give us credits, and we would have our money on that Fed coin, however they would do it. There is even talk that when that comes out, we would need it to receive our stimulus money or our unemployment money or any tax credits. We would have to have a Fed coin card to access those credits. Well, now I'm not saying that it is that way or we know that it's a plan, but there have been whispers about it. And it certainly could happen. We've heard about this enough that we could even say it's a plan. We just don't know when it would happen. Financial people have been talking about this for years. And they even cite the Federal Reserve discussions about it. But we just don't have knowledge about it. We have people who talk about it. And what are we to expect with that? Good question. Will everything be controlled then by the Federal Reserve? Well, maybe. And, you know, they will put forward the good points. The good points are no more IRS. Your taxes would automatically be taken out of any currencies, I mean any monies, deposited onto your card. It would just be automatic. And oh, how easy that would be. Everything done automatically. Yeah, just like in China. Well, yeah. In China, if you are a good citizen and you practice good social etiquette, the government rewards you. And if you don't, if those cameras spot you littering, or if those cameras in China spot you jaywalking, you could be having a penalty on your cards and your access to transportation or anything else. So there is a social score in China that is going on right now. Could that happen here with a card that we would accept? Well, yeah, it sure could. And who could survive such a stringent control system? Certainly not anybody who disagreed with the existing order of things. Not dissidents, they would have trouble. And you would just guess that Christians would not survive either. So I say again, would the United States do that? Or is it happening right now behind the closed doors? Well, the powers that be do have their plans. And you know what? They don't tell us what they are, not out in the open. But they do tell us in their literature. And by the way, the Bible tells us the plan also. Our Bible reveals the conditions, the plan, the conditions. We just don't know exactly when it will be. So when we hear people talk about the direction of things, does it line up with the Bible? And yes, there's a whole lot that does. So let's kind of think about it and get prepared for when something or other happens. There's plenty of people who talk about where things are headed, but we get to figure out what we are going to do about it. God tells us in His Word, but what are each one of us going to do? Are we going to accept the reality of what is coming, of that, let's just say that mark, that's ultimately what will happen. Are we going to accept it? Well, yeah, right? No, of course not. All these things, there's lots of room for each one of us to dialogue about. We can agree, we can disagree, and that's a good thing to do. Dialogue is good. Dialogue is important, and let's try to keep it all based in Scripture. Let's pray and ask for guidance as we have Christian dialogue. We do want to live a long life, that's for sure. And a part of living that life, what we do in life is to spread the good news of the gospel to others. And to spread the good news of the gospel, to talk to people, we have to be alive. And that's a part of why we want to preserve our life and not just say, well, if it happens, if it happens, if I die, I die. No, we have a mission in this life, and that is to spread the good news of the gospel. And to do that, we must be alive, and the people we talk to must be alive, and we also must have our liberty. Our liberty was given to us by God, and it was guaranteed by our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and our Bill of Rights. And hey, while I'm talking about the original structure, I'm just going to mention to you that October 10th guest that I had on ChristToday.org, Rick Martin, and he is at www.constitutionallaw.us. See, he talked about where the basis of our rights are also. And in the last minutes of that broadcast, I talked about the basis of law also. the English law, the law of Hammurabi, and the Bible, but I wished that I had talked more about the Bible as being the basis of law. That is the basis of our law. And probably you could look back to Genesis 9 with Noah and Noah's law. And that's also a basis of our legal system. It just continues. It has changed. And so today we are struggling between constitutional law and case law and international and other law. It's a struggle. And I hope you know a little something about it, because if we don't know our rights, we don't have any. That's a very important point, and that's why it's good for us to know something about our law. And that goes into other areas too. Remember, our constitutional talks about law. I'm sorry, it talks about money, and money is another important part of life. It's something that we get to discern as we go through life. The decisions, they all have an impact on our freedom. And what the Federal Reserve today is impacting our freedom. Maybe not at the moment, but it's going to in a few years, because they are moving things along in a way that they are controlling the different aspects of our currency, of U.S. dollars. See, the Federal Reserve is making money loans and creating money and putting them into many different areas of our nation. Into the Federal Reserve, they are just creating money for our Congress to spend. Yes, by the trillions of dollars. And that is giving them a certain control. They are also loaning money to the largest corporations and to other national banks in other countries. It's something that is going on, and what that does is when you are the loan holder, you have a certain control over all of it. And that's what's going on with the Federal Reserve. And when defaults happen, you know how it is. If you have a home loan and you don't pay your loan, the bank gets your home. And that's the same principle that's going on with the Federal Reserve and how they are loaning and injecting money here and there. It puts them in a position of receiving an asset if the payments are not made. Well, how does that line up with history? You know, we have things we think have never been seen before, but they've gone on before. There's nothing new under the sun. That's Ecclesiastes. And in our banking situation, it's the same thing. We have currency being created, and it is it's putting the money interests into a position of power, and that includes the Federal Reserve. So it's a pattern we've seen all throughout history, from ancient Babylon to ancient Rome to the Middle Ages, to Europe, and to America. All this time we have seen the same thing. Nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes 1. So there's a lot going on in our world. Indeed there is. What do we do about it? When the Federal Reserve creates dollars on a computer screen, they're creating those dollars out of thin air. And the Federal Reserve is buying all sorts of things, treasuries, stock by the billions, or trillions even. And pretty soon, it will be obvious and we can recognize the patterns going on. The patterns, even if the specifics are not there, the patterns and the generalities are there. If you look at what happened 100 years ago in the 1920s in Germany, or in the 1940s in Austria, or the 1980s, 90s in Zambia, in Russia, in Argentina, and now Venezuela, there is a clear pattern, and we get a clear idea of what these patterns will bring us. A trouble, that's what it will bring us. And there's two elements that are often overlooked when we consider the financial chaos, the chaos in our currency. And those two instabilities are farmers cannot get credit. And that means they cannot plant their crops or they cannot harvest their crops. And that leads to famine and that leads to death. A second notable thing that happens is war. Nations often go to war when they have a desperate need, maybe for resources, maybe for food. And maybe a nation has a desperate need to distract its people from the politics that are going on or the troubles that are in the nation at that time. Well, we try to figure out exactly what is happening in the nation, and we try to make sense of it so that we can plan for our future. I think that one of the things that is going on is a diminishing of what is our entire lives are about. And that reminds me of that musical chair game of days gone by when we were children. You know, where the music plays, and then when it stops, each time it stops, one chair is taken away. One by one, a chair is taken away, and people are knocked out of the game. That's kind of what I think is going on now, today. And the music plays on until it stops. And then we are pushed out of the game one at a time. So, is that our future? Sure, it could be. I remember a few years ago when it was the end of ex-President Obama's term, and it looked to me like a crisis was pretty close. I mean, like months away, or certainly less than a year away, but I was wrong then, and I can be wrong again. Anyone can be wrong. The timing of things is either tricky or impossible. But we can see the signs, and we can see the indicators, and we can see that something big is coming. Some huge trouble. I see the trouble coming, and lots of other people do also. You can wonder if it's going to be a political trouble or a financial, economic trouble. Well, they kind of intertwine with each other. But you can recognize that we are in a moral state of decay. And what could happen with that? A moral state of decay means that we could collapse on ourselves, or God could give us the judgment we deserve. Maybe the judgment for those nearly 70 million innocent baby fetus lives that were taken. I don't know. There's plenty of other things that America has done that has not been good. In fact, it's been evil. I remember when I was young and I traveled and I talked to other people in other countries about what America had done. And they told me that this American CIA was murdering people, in the head of the governments of foreign lands, and that they would topple foreign governments. Well, I was a true American, and I did not believe that America could do such a immoral thing. But I heard that story kind of over and over, and as I looked and I looked, I found that America had been involved in morally questionable acts. And you can only guess what the results will be, because God keeps track of all of that. He watches all of our immorality, and someday we have to assume that God will require a judgment. And we don't know what, we don't know when, we don't know how. But we do know that God does not forget. And in the past, God has used an evil nation to bring a proper judgment upon a nation that he loves. You look at the history of Israel. Ancient history shows that example. And so whatever happens to us, the USA, we can only hope that such an event would bring about a state of righteousness in our nation. Righteousness according to God. Yeah. I've heard, who could bring judgment on our nation? Well, circumstances could bring it about. And it's possible that those circumstances would involve China and Russia, because those are two nations that have been identified by prophetic people as militarily occupying our nation. I have heard these prophecies numerous times, maybe 2 decades ago, and maybe 2 months ago, or 2 weeks ago. People say those things. Are they true? Is it a true prophecy? I don't know. I would never deny prophecy, but I do understand that a prophecy can be given and conditions can change if there is repentance. And I think of Jonah. He prophesied that in 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed. And Nineveh repented. Nineveh got to continue for another 120, 150 years because they repented. So will our America also repent? Will we put on sackcloth and ashes like Nineveh did? Well, maybe not physically, but at least could we do it in our spirit, in our mind, in our will, and in our emotions? Can we direct our heart to grieve for that which America has done or which America has not done? It's all a question of the will of God. And what would we do? What have we done? And I don't mean I have an answer for that. I just mean that there's a historical pattern here, and we would do well to study patterns. Would we repent if it meant that our children and our grandchildren could grow up with prosperity and freedom? I don't know. Can we? We can only guess what might happen. You know, there are people nowadays who are predicting that America will have a civil war and that there will be a depression so great, or that there will be earthquakes. All these things are, you can call them, let's call them forecast. They are talked about as being a real likely possibility. Could it happen? Well, as I think about the conflict in the world, I think about how just days ago, the Chinese president for life, Xi Jinping, again said to his troops, focus on preparing for war with all their mind and all their energy. And recently, China's president has targeted the United States and also Taiwan and Hong Kong. We can only guess what our future is, but there are problems in China. They have had such huge crop losses due to flooding. And it looks like starvation is going to come to China. And I just wonder, would the top levels of the Communist Chinese Party be willing to sacrifice some of their many people in war just so that they could feed the people who remained? Yeah, well, I think let's look at that ancient Chinese strategy book by Sun Tzu, The Art of War. And yes, remember that there are also very unscrupulous people in the world. And they think in terms of winning, 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 no matter what the price. No matter if you have to live or die, it doesn't matter to them. So, just have a look at it, a consideration, and see what you see the possibilities are. And then, like I like to say, prepare. Because we have things going on in our nation. Oh, yes, we do. And there is so much talk about saving lives these days. Our leaders talk about saving lives. Is that really our goal? To save lives? If we wanted to save lives, would we have a military that is trained to kill? Good question. Well, if saving lives is the true goal, would we then decide to submit ourselves to any military power that threatened to kill us if life is so important and so dear? Well, we get to put this into an evaluation and try to figure out what is the most important thing to do. Yeah, save lives. Okay. So does that mean we should have a speed limit of 45 miles per hour on all highways? Because that would save lives. That would save a lot of lives and a lot of injuries. But we live with risks. I don't know what your values are, but we have to make sure that our leaders recognize the freedom we have and the risks we are willing to take. After all, if saving lives was the only issue, we would do things differently. Yeah, 45-mile-an-hour speed limit. How about if we ban all motorcycles? Yeah, and ban ladders while you're at it. You know, ladders, they say, kill 300 people a year. And they cause 160,000 emergency room visits. That's how many people are injured on ladders. Are we going to ban them too? I don't know. We just have to make sure that our leaders understand that we are willing to take risks. And, well, we all have to figure that one out. Nowadays, things are changing. There is There is a mask requirement and a 6 foot distance requirement. There is a requirement of no touching, no shaking hands, no hugs, no little kiss on the cheek. It's changing who we are as a people. Is that okay with you? I just had a friend. 2 months ago, their mother was dying in the hospital. The health was deteriorating due to old age. And there was the COVID threat. And so the hospital would only let them see each other with glass in between. They would only let them talk to each other on a little telephone. There certainly was no touching and no physical contact. Well, in the last 5 days of that mother's life, when the hospital knew that death was imminent, they let one of those 6 children come in and touch that mother's hand. To hold hands, that's what it took. Imminent death. The siblings decided on who that one child would be that would be allowed to hold the mother's hand. At that point, the mother was not so lucid, and she passed within a week. The children felt cheated from showing love and affection to their mother in the last days of that mother's life. That's the kind of send-off that our governors, our health professionals, and powerful people are arranging for us all when we get close to death. Why? To stop the spread of coronavirus, of course. And do you know what people are doing about it? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing that makes any difference. We are letting the dictators rule over us. All the while, 98% of the corona COVID cases do not die and they recover. What kind of an epidemic is that? And I know in Italy, the average age of the corona COVID victim was 80 when they died. What does that mean? It means we better evaluate this threat and try to figure out what it is that we value. Do you value your freedom? Well, show it. You know what else is dying besides the old people? Our economy is dying. Last week was another big week of first-time jobless claims. 840,000 first-time jobless claims. Last week, 840,000. Wow! I mean, and speaking of first-time, do you know how many people are buying a gun for the first time? The media reports that it is 5 million people this year are first-time gun buyers. That is a lot of people who recognize that they are concerned for their safety. First-time gun buyers. A lot of people are afraid. What is going on in our nation? Our society is shifting, that's for sure. There's many parts of life. And yes, we are facing difficulties. The corona COVID has caused 60 million job losses in the United States this year. Yeah, that's a lot. 60 million job losses. 10 million. 10 million job losses in the United States this year. 10 million job losses in the United States this year. And a couple of days ago, I heard a United Nations representative on the radio say that they are expecting this economic downfall due to COVID to be the worst since the Great Depression, and that it would spread all across the world. In fact, it's happening right now, everywhere, all across the world. They, the authorities, are shutting everything down. Is that what we want? Is that what we, the people, say is a good idea? Well, I think we had better look at what our fears are and what our concerns are. Every one of us ought to look at this and really evaluate our life. And, oh, yes, also take our preparedness measures that we decide on. I think everybody needs water, food, and warmth. That's what I say, water, food, and warmth. And we can only guess how that applies to each one of us. That's something for you to decide. We all get to figure that one out. But there are things going on. And, you know, I talked about the Federal Reserve. And what does that mean? It means that it is another step closer to the mark of the beast. That's what I see it as. It's getting a little closer all the time. And, of course, it's not the mark, but it's getting us closer and closer to it where we need it to buy and sell. The Bible tells us that if we take that mark, torment awaits us. And that is the torment of hell. That's Revelation 14. Revelation 13 talks about it too a little bit. Well, we don't want to be a part of that beast system. And that's the Christian point of view from the Bible. Our government is different. It does not recognize this concern. All it recognizes is Romans 13, to obey the government. Yep, that's what those Nazis said in World War II, obey your government and let them dictate to you what is going on and what they want you to do. You know, the governor of California has proclaimed by executive order that at the end of 2034, there will be no more gas-powered cars and trucks in California. Pretty interesting. It's a dictate. It's an executive order. It is not law. Law comes through legislation and our legislative bodies. He made a decree. It's an executive order. Just like he has made decrees with the face masks and the COVID-19, his emergency powers, that's a big question. Apparently he exceeded them. But who is taking him to task? Is our state representatives taking him to task? A little bit, but not enough. It's one of those questions that we all get to see, what are we going to do about whatever problem it is. There are potential problems. That's just one of them. How about North Korea? Are they still a problem? Well, just a week ago, they had a great big military parade, and they showed off their great big huge intercontinental ballistic missile with, it was about 22 tires. 11 on each side. And I thought, you know what? North Korea can't even produce tires. And yet they have a missile launcher with all those tires. They didn't produce that. They do have some capacity. Oh, yes, they do. But they're not the threat that we would see, that we would think they are. So it's an example of another threat that we face. I think that we all could do something to be a little prepared for the unknown. And that's what I think we ought to do. Be prepared for the unknown, for the threats that there just might be. I know FEMA says to have 3 days of food and water. Yeah, that's right, 3 days. Or you listen to some other people. I like Peter Pry's congressional report that talked about if the power grid goes down, we could be years without electricity. Years. And then there's the President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council, and they express concern about our electrical grid also. They also said if our grid goes down, it could be years before we get our electricity back to normal. So, what do we do? I think that preparedness is the way to go. And what do we need? To me, it's the basics. Water, food, and warmth. And sure, everybody has different ideas beyond that. Follow them if you are led that direction. But I think it's have some things that last. To me, when I look at the cost of things, the cost of meals or expensive packaging, I think that whole grains is the best way to go. And so that's what I do. Wheat, or ancient grain spilt, which is the parent of wheat. I think of those things that last and last and last. Whole grains. And then, of course, you need a good grain grinder to turn that grain into bread. And sure, then you have the things that go along with that. Oil, sugar, salt. Other spices and flavorings. That's just what you do. So, when we don't know what will happen next, we do think about the direction things are headed. And everybody knows that it sure could be trouble. Will it be? Now, that's a whole nother question. But we have to look at the possibilities. And that's what I hope to be doing for you, is talking about the possibilities to put them into a context that you can understand they are perhaps real. Not to mention the other things like a natural disaster. An earthquake could happen. Certainly it could. So think about how to be prepared. Yes, in your spirit. And yes, in your heart towards God. And yes, in your head with knowledge. And yes, with your basic physical needs. So the first one there was spirit. Heart, mind, and physical. Those are, I think, the order of importance. Yes, we talk about physical preparation all the time, but the first one is spirit, then heart, then intellect. I am always glad to have everybody listen to this broadcast, and do remember that I really like to give out my free preparedness thoughts, or not, my preparedness pamphlet, and it gives you ideas. It is intended to inspire you to think about this or that, and it's not the whole answer. We answer these questions within ourselves, and then we make a plan and we follow through on it. So I hope that you request my free preparedness pamphlet by sending a stamped self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.